CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And Fire It Up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Leave. On CBS Radio's The Sky. Sky.
Welcome back to CBS Sky Radio. Thank you for listening to Fire It Up with CJ today. We do appreciate it. Our guest today is Dr. Scott Swartzwelder, a professor at Duke University of Brain Science. He's here today to join us and talk about our children's brains. I'm Cassandra, and I want to go right back to CJ and Dr. Scott.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. So I have been playing a game. It's more like a drill sergeant. It's probably very unpleasant for you, Scott.
No, it's fun.
I've been playing a game where I did a bunch of internet research, and as we know, the internet is everything on the internet is true and 100% correct, according to the authors who write these things. And so I did a bunch of research. I have a long list of benefits of video games, and we had an interesting conversation during the break where you know, one of the things I think that's really hard as parents is these kind of technologies, Halo, Xbox, social media, we just don't know as parents. And I think that it brings a set of fears because we just don't know what it is, and that we literally don't know. But that it's actually important for us to be reasonable, despite our lack of knowing where this will all go. And Scott made a really interesting comment. He said, "You know, I basically look at peer-reviewed research. If I see that as evidence, then I know that that is true. But all this other stuff that you see on the internet." Yeah, maybe not true. It's like it's anecdotal evidence, I think, or people who feel like, you know, I think my strategic skills are getting better or my problem-solving skills are better. But, you know, there's no research, necessarily proven research. But that doesn't mean – so, Scott, I mean, when I heard you said that, I think, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't provide these things. It's just there's no research yet.
There's no evidence for it, and so until there is, you know, it will be foolhardy to believe, you know, anecdotal reports, right? I mean, and that's, the problem is a lot of people have preconceived notions about what they want to be true, and so for those folks, an anecdotal report that says, oh, I think that's true too, that feels very reinforcing, right? Mm-hmm. But that the problem is it can lead you down, you know, it can lead you into error. So the best approach is just wait for the science to get done, as frustrating as that might be, and until it is on a particular question, withhold judgment.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a good approach. And limit, right? If you have like a sense like it's bothering you, then just limit it. You don't have, but to be reasonable, I think, too, I think
yes,
is another
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's some other things. It's time for the drilling. Be prepared.
I'm ready.
Problem solving. True or false? Benefits for problem solving with these video games?
And then we're talking about video games particularly?
Yeah.
Probably not. They're not very complex problems when you're chasing some guy around a trench shooting at him. You know, that's a pretty easy problem to solve. You either get killed or you don't. But if it's a complex, you know, interesting interactive game that involves thinking and remembering and interacting, then sure. It really depends on the game.
Okay. So, yeah. And so, for example, our kids play Age of Mythology. It's actually a fair amount of stuff going on at one time. So you're kind of learning stuff. Strategic thinking?
I don't know if there's no evidence out there to support that that's helpful. I could imagine that it might be, again, depending upon the kind of game that that a kid is playing. I'm sure there are plenty of them out there that involve strategic thinking, and it probably helps. But again, if the research hadn't been done, you got to be really careful about making those conclusions.
Okay, so there is no research, conclusive evidence, like you said, for strategic thinking, problem solving. But, I mean, again, it's like, well, you can play it and say, yeah, I had to think this way, but we don't know conclusively based on research. How about building teamwork?
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because my experience with video games has been sort of, you know, was mostly before they became these internet-based, you know, highly social interactions, right? And so I'm not sure, but it seems to me there certainly is the potential for that. Even though you're not interacting really face-to-face, you don't know who each other really is. Everybody's got an alias, you know, like Thror the Magnificent or whatever.
Right. Right?
But, you know, and so in that way, there's a little bit of a firewall, so you can take some social risks that you wouldn't have
right.
taken otherwise. And so
right.
I, you know, my, I'm not willing to rule out the possibility that there might be some benefit in that. There's also some downside, though, because when you're out there in the social real world, there's not a firewall, right? And so if you learn, you know, if you kind of do your whole social life behind that firewall where you don't really have to be yourself, then you might get a little too used to not being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, it's a double-edged sword. And and a lot of it has to do with the kid who's involved and how much and how long and what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, and I've noticed actually with doing stuff myself, I mean, people will post things on YouTube videos and say things that you would just never say to someone, like, you're a jerk. You know,
right.
like, what? You know, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is just so, it's completely rude. But because there's anonymity, I mean, the
yep.
kind of things that these teens say to each other in the community chat boards, they're just so unbelievably rude because they, you know, you don't have to see that kid at school the next day.
Right.
So I could see how it's kind of a mixed thing. And like we were saying before, it helps with social skills if you have a really shy or quiet kid. It gives
right.
them
and there's also a lesson in that, too. I mean, there's a good lesson to be learned that, look, when you're anonymous, you can do things that you can't do when you're not anonymous. And
right.
that in itself is an important social lesson to learn.
Yeah. All right, the last one is outlet to express and vent stress and depression. And I thought that's interesting because I think Scott said that violence actually leads to depression due to increased cortisol levels. So what is this, an outlet to express? It's actually going to reduce stress and depression. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's separate out stress and depression, first of all. Not that they don't have a relationship, but they are separate psychological processes. Stress relief, sure. You know, you get into the video game, you're able to fly around and do things and feel free in the ways that you feel free when you're engaged in that. You can see that that would be stress reducing. On the other hand, we know that to sit still and to not be physically active for too long is a stressor in itself. So the action on the screen might have a little stress reduction process, but the act of sitting still and not moving around and not exercising is going to make you more susceptible to the effects of stress. So, again, double-edged sword, you know, not too much, not too little. Depression is, it's a disease that is caused and potentiated by a lot of different factors. And so it's really hard to say such and such a thing causes depression or such and such a thing alleviates depression. But my understanding of the literature is that nothing's been proven one way or the other that you're playing video games is either antidepressant or pro-depressant. I mean, there's just not any science out there to make that kind of statement.
It's so helpful to just get someone who studied the research, because as parents, you don't have enough time to kind of go and know, unless it's your occupation like it is for you. So I am so appreciated you actually separating fact from fiction, because it's very confusing as parents, and there's a lot of information out there that's wrong.
That's true. There's a lot of information. You know, there are some good and fairly reliable websites, you know, like the websites for the various institutes of the National Institutes on Health, right? So the National Institute of Drug Abuse, National Institute of Mental Health, those websites, they tend to be pretty good. I wouldn't believe everything that's on them, but almost everything. And they've got good people up there trying to do what you're talking about, which is sift through all that cacophony of information and just give you what the bottom line truth is. That's what we try to do in that book. And I've got another book that I wrote specifically about drugs called Buzzed, where that's exactly what we did. We said a drug by drug is what we know and is what we don't know. And so, but you're right. Too few scientists and clinicians have the time or the effort or the inclination to actually sit down and say, okay, let me translate all this stuff into the lay language. It's not an easy thing to do.
You've been unbelievably fantastic. What are they thinking? It really is a definitive guide. I'm thrusting this book upon all of my friends at school and their parents. So it's a wonderful book. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks, folks, for listening, and have a great weekend.